All right, so this is going to be recorded just for transcription purposes, okay?
No problem, bud.
Okay, cool. So we'll get right to it. Obviously, you have the big fight coming up next week. I'm just curious because I remember I was actually in Newark last year. You know, you beat Phil Baroni. You were on a high talking about title fights and everything. You haven't fought since then. How incredibly frustrating has this last year been for you?
Well, you know, this last year has been frustrating, you know, as far as... you know, I was on a roll, and it just seemed, you know, I was 3 weeks away from a title fight with Robbie Lawler, and everything was going great in camp. I felt really strong and focused for that fight, and then the wheels came off. You know, the Elite went down, and it was very frustrating. The most frustrating part about the whole ordeal was them holding our contracts, you know, as assets, and nobody really wanted to put us to work. You know, they don't want to get legally put into that mess that Elite had put all of its fighters in. So, you know, we had to just wait around, and you know, at least I stayed busy in the gym and helped out some of my teammates get ready for their fights, and I feel like I've gotten better. But financially frustrating, you know, your career's going only so long, and you know, I was really banking on saving that money I spent this past year for my retirement, you know. So it was frustrating, but, you know, overall, that's just the way things happen sometimes. I just feel like I was just the unfortunate guy that just had to be off a year, you know, and it was the most frustrating thing about it was a healthy year. It wasn't due to injury or anything, you know. I was ready to go, but it was just frustrating.
Did you have to take, like, another job or something, or did you just kind of use up your savings in this last year?
It just used up my savings. You know, the past 2 years have been okay for me. You know, I'm pretty blue-collar type guy, you know, so... you know, I put a little money aside for my retirement. You know, I always try to think about my future and my family future. And, you know, so I've been really careful with my money and how it's spent. And you know, it just really stunk that I had to burn through some of that money that I was saving for you know, my next life. And you know, it was unfortunate, but these things happen, and I'm just trying to keep things in perspective.
You mentioned that you were supposed to fight Lawler, you know, 3 weeks before they went under. Did you have any inclination from being, you know, you fought for Pro Elite several times? Did you have a feeling that something like this might happen?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, when you're around the company and you see all the blogs and the rumors and the this and the that, and you hear, you know, little whimpers and stuff. So yeah, I knew that the company might be in trouble. You know, of course they don't ever disclose that stuff with the athletes, but I felt like there might have been a little trouble there, and I was really, you know, with the cutbacks, you know, they had me set to fight here in Albuquerque at the Pit in September, and then they scratched that, and then they scratched another event, and then I started to, you know, wonder, and I was just really hoping that fight would go and that fight would air and that I would be the new champion, but you know, as things played out, it didn't happen, and I was just put in an unfortunate situation.
I'm curious to get your thoughts before we get into your fight next weekend. You know, Robbie Lawler lost this weekend. I have a feeling that you might have wanted to see him win just so you can get that rematch with him and maybe fight for that title. Was that, you know, what was going through your mind?
Well, of course. You know, I mean, to take nothing away from Jake Shields, I felt that he was going to be a tough test. You know, Robbie hasn't been placed on the mat in a while and shown his grappling skills. You know, it caught me by surprise that you know, he caught him with a standing, you know, guillotine, basically a head and arm guillotine. You know, I was banking on Shields taking him to the ground at least once, and then to give Robbie a run for his money, you know. But I really wanted Robbie to win that fight, you know. You know, to take nothing away from Diaz or from Shields, you know. But Robbie's a true middleweight. I'm a true middleweight, and I just wanted to see, and I was really pulling for Robbie because, you know, I wanted that. You know, I wanted that fight. I wanted Robbie highly ranked, and I wanted to be able to be the one to you know, end his streak, but, you know, it was unfortunate. It wasn't me. fortunately enough, it happened to Jake Shields, and now he rises amongst all the other fighters and proves himself to be one of the elite. So, you know, I mean, congratulations to him. But, of course, you know, as an athlete, and I wish it was me, you know.
Yeah. Have Strikeforce talked to you guys about, like, what they're going to do in the middleweight division? Because now we just heard last week from Kung that they're going to make an interim title. So they have they given you any insight? And if so, you know, where does this fight, you know, your one next Friday, kind of place you in that middleweight division if you win?
Well, I think right now with their, you know, with the losses of Scott Smith and Robbie, you know, it puts me right up in there. But I definitely got to get past Tess and Santos. I think that they really just want to see, you know, what I have to offer, and you know, I feel really comfortable about the position I'm in. But this whole Kung Lee thing is just, you know, as a fighter and somebody who's pursuing greatness, you know, when you have a champion that doesn't fight, you know, consistently, and I don't blame the guy for going out and making a living outside of fighting, you know, but you are the champ of the world, and you got to prove to people that you are, you know, and I think that's why he's not, you know, talked about amongst higher ranked guys. You know, he's just real inconsistent. He had a good fight with Frank, but I think that Diaz, Robbie, you know, myself, Shields, any one of those four guys can put him away. You know, but he's just staying real smart and making his living outside of the sport. But I wish that you know, something would get resolved real quick. And I'm sure that he's going to hear a lot of pressure from all these new athletes that were from Elite are now in Strikeforce. And I think that Scott Coker and everybody else are going to start hearing you know, all of our wanting to see him fight, you know. So we're just a bunch of hungry guys in the middleweight division. We all want to be champs, and you know, I just want to see Kung Lee get back in there, you know, whether I'm in you know, last in line to get my shot, so be it, you know. Eventually I'll work for it, you know, but you know, if I win this next fight, you know, I'm definitely going to push that, you know, topic.
You lose a little respect for him for holding out this long and kind of like, you know, holding up the whole division?
You know, this is a tough game. You know, this is a tough sport. And I can respect him being a businessman on one hand, but as a fighter goes, you know, you want to see somebody stay consistent, you know. And I know that Kung Lee has been a businessman outside of a fighter, you know, that style of kickboxing that he did for years out there and building his name up and getting the big win against Frank. But that's about it. Frank, you know, he beat Frank and Diaz, you know, pretty much, you know, I mean, he dominated Frank, you know, so we want to see what Kung Lee has to offer. And to be honest with you, I think he's hurting himself staying away from the game this long. Either he's going to have to retire, or he's going to have to face a very hungry middleweight that, you know, when you're out of the game this long, I think it might hurt him more than he knows.
All right. And let's talk about Cyborg Santos. He hasn't fought in a while as well. The last time he fought was September, and kind of like in a rough spot in his career, losing 3 out of 4. Which part of his game do you find to be most dangerous?
Well, of course, everybody knows what's the most dangerous part of Santos. Is that's no joke, because the guy's got power. You know, he's aggressive, he's got power, and you know, his last few fights he showed some patience, you know, and I'm banking on him coming out with some patience and looking to pick his shots. I think that you know, everybody knows that I've got decent footwork and that I'm a decent boxer, and you know, I think that you know, his strongest asset is his power, you know. And I think this is his first time making middleweight, so we'll see how much power he loses. I'm used to making this weight, so you know, we'll see exactly how strong he comes into this fight. And I know he's fought at a catch weight at 95 with Musasi, and you know, I don't know what weight he fought in when he dislocated his arm or hurt his shoulder in his last fight in September, which was unfortunate. You know, I mean, we'll see, man. We'll see how he comes in strength-wise, but we all know that he's definitely got a powerful punch.
I've seen him in person a few times. That's an intimidating dude, eh? Have you ever seen him? Like, his look tattoos on the...
I've watched his videos, and I've seen him in his woman's corner all the time, and he's intimidating, but he's intimidating to a lot of people, but he's not intimidating to me, you know. I mean, I've got some intimidating guys that I train with, I'm actually, real comfortable with his demeanor. Actually, one of my tricks, what I do, because sometimes you never know what to expect from somebody from just looking at a picture, you know? Mm-hmm. So whenever you meet them in person, it's a totally different feel. So on my cell phone about 6 weeks ago, I went and picked up the most intimidating picture I can find of Santos, and I put it as my screensaver. So every time I look at my phone or turn on my phone, he's glaring right at me. That way, whenever I see him in person, it's not such a shock, you know? I'm used to that look, you know? So... I'm kind of like grooming myself for him, trying to be a bully and intimidating. But overall, I'm not. I've had some people try to get in my face and be intimidating, and it never seems to bother me. It just motivates me. So we'll see. We'll see how we come out. I'll give him all the respect in the world. He's a fighter. He's an MMA fighter. We put it out on the line, and I respect everybody. But if he wants to try to be intimidating with me, that's just fine with me.
All right, that's cool. What's your take on, I think a lot of people were very surprised when they saw that you were headlining a Strikeforce Challengers card, because at first we thought that was going to be for like the up-and-coming fighters, and now we see guys like you and Nick Thompson, Santos, you know what I mean? Like veterans of the sport, you were supposed to fight for the title in Elite XC headlining Challengers card. Does that bother you?
Bother me? Nah. It's not going to bother me none. I don't know. Maybe Strikeforce has something up their sleeve. Maybe they're calling it this. I guess the way I'm looking at it is that they're trying to put some names on there so people can watch, and then eventually get down to one big name of fight card. And I think they're just trying to get people interested. So they're throwing in some names, of course it's a source of motivation. I'm like, hey, why aren't I good enough to be on the main Strikeforce card like we were supposed to be, last week, and they bumped us back 2 weeks, and I'm just glad to be performing again, to be in there and living again and doing what God put me on this planet to do, and that's just show my heart and be courageous, and I'm just glad that I get the opportunity to do it again, that this ride ain't over, and one of my good friends, Ryan Stans told me, this is respect 409 for Smoking Joe Villasenor. So that's the way I'm looking at it. A lot of people, are non-believers, and I just want to go out there and perform at my best and just show people that I am a contender and that I should be recognized with. And if I have to do it on this stage, then so be it. It doesn't bother me none. I just want to go out there and live a little.
Yeah, do you feel as though you have something to prove here? Like you still don't get the respect that you deserve?
Always. I think most fighters will always tell you that. I really don't care so much what the fans say. The thing that I wanted that I care about is my employers. The people who write that paycheck. I want them to know that they're writing a paycheck to somebody who's going to put it on the line all the time, and somebody who's earned that money, So, I just want to, all the management and everybody, and of course my peers, my teammates and rival coaches and rival opponents. I want to earn their respect. That's what I'm in this sport for. I respect every athlete that gets in there with me and I want the same back, and I think at the end of the night, people are gonna look at it and they're gonna say, Villasenor's won four in a row, and whether this one ends on a knockout or a submission, I'd love it to be a knockout or a TKO, and they can say, man, that's three in a row, that's three KOs in a row and a four fight win streak, and he was gonna fight Robbie, and they should start talking about me a little bit more, but all of that really doesn't matter. You know, it matters a little bit. It's more for motivation. But the thing that matters the most is that I get that respect from that organization.
Yeah, and you said that you're happy that you can continue doing this. Was there a time for a second there where you thought like your MMA career might be over, or were you confident that this would get resolved and you know, you could resume it at some point?
Well, I knew that it would be resolved, but when you're off for a year and you're going through this kind of frustrating event, you're really slapped hard in the face with reality that, you know what, someday I'm not going to be fighting again. You know, someday I am going to have to retire. I do feel like I'm at the peak of my game. I feel like I'm ready to, you know, to show everybody, you know, that I'm worthy of the record I have, you know. I think that, you know, I feel really good right now, but it was just a slap in the face that someday my career is going to be over with. You got to be smart with your money. You got to plan ahead. And it was just one of those, you know, reality checks. And I wasn't ever close to stopping or quitting, but it was just like, wow, man, you know, like someday this ends, you know, so you might as well just appreciate it and respect it and give it your all, you know, and that's where I'm at right now. I think that I'm just thankful to God and just extremely hungry, you know, just extremely hungry to get back in there and to feel that numbness, you know. A lot of people talk about, you know, butterflies and, oh, you've been off a year, how does that affect you? I just can't wait to feel it again. I just can't wait to be under the lights, man. That's what I've done over freaking 30 times, you know, professionally. I just can't wait to get under the lights and to feel that numbness in my stomach and to have that euphoric feeling, you know. I just can't wait, you know. I've kind of grown addicted to it, you know, so I'm just very blessed to actually get the opportunity to do it next Friday.
Awesome. Okay, and final stuff that I just wanted to ask you about, I don't think a lot of people know this about you. Are you still dating Holly?
Yeah, that's my woman. She just defended one of her many titles this past Friday, and she did it in extremely powerful fashion, you know, for a fourth round TKO of an undefeated Brazilian champion. So, you know, it was a great sign for me because she's one of my training partners, one of my running buddies, and so, you know, and then, of course, Donald Cerrone and my other teammate Frank on the WEC. So we've had it rolling the past weekend, and it's my turn to keep it rocking, you know. But yeah, man, my girl Holly, she's the best female boxer, ranked number one in the world, Ring Magazine female boxer for like 3 years straight.
Well, what's it like dating another fighter? What's that like?
It's awesome, man. I mean, she totally gets it, you know. She understands, you know. It's really a blessing, you know. This whole, you know, our whole house, you know, our whole lifestyle, you know. She understands the eating habits and the dieting and the workouts and the shitty moods, you know. She understands, you know. We understand, you know. It's a really extremely positive situation, you know, and we're both just very blessed to have the supporters we have and to be, you know, at the top of our game, you know, and she's great, man. She's awesome.
And women's MMA is like blowing up. I think you would agree a lot more than women's boxing. You ever try to get her to come to do women's MMA?
Well, the thing about where she's at right now and women's MMA is, and I know that she would jump in it if the money was in it, but right now she's at the top of the food chain in women's boxing, and it would actually be a pay cut to come to women's MMA. So, you know, she makes more money boxing than she does, than she would being a champion in MMA. So right now she's just going to continue to do MMA. You know, she used to be a kickboxer you know, real similar to Gina Carano's upbringing. You know, Holly was a kickboxer before she was a boxer. And then she went boxing and just started dominating there. So, but I'm sure that if it ever came to that would be an option, you know. But she's definitely the best women boxer out there, and she'll go down in the history books. And I'm just extremely proud and thankful to be on this ride with her.
All right, so give me a prediction. How's this fight going to end on Friday?
Well, you know, I would love to to just get a TKO, you know, a stoppage, submission. I just want to win, you know, and at any means necessarily, you know. Of course, everybody wants that highlight knockout, you know. I mean, that's what this sport's all about, you know. But we got a very dangerous man in front of us, and I believe a very hungry man. You know, it's going to be a battle. I just see me winning in all areas. So, you know, whether it's on the ground or standing up, you know, and I just predict a win.
All right, man. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you again, and best of luck next Friday.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, cool. Bye.
Late.